Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Well, this kind of brings to a conclusion the end of this series, and I wanted to kind of summarize a little bit about where we've been and especially about where we're going. What is our faith really? What is this journey all about? C.S. Lewis, who you've heard often, says that each day, every choice that we make, every decision that we make, is moving us in one direction or another. It's creating for us the kind of person. We're either becoming more of one kind of person, more self-centered, self-absorbed kind of person, or we're becoming somebody different. Every decision is moving us along the path. So sometimes when we think about our lives, and we think, what path are we on? We often think that our days don't really matter. All that really matters is what happens on a Sunday morning. But our faith is about all of the decisions in between. And if you want to go live a life that goes beyond just the ordinary, just beyond the timeline of going from being an adolescent to being a teenager to be in that building stage to middle age to retirement, if you want to move beyond just the ordinary timeline from birth to grave, you have to think about the decisions and moving outside of just that normal timeline. Every decision that you make is shaping you into being one kind of person or another. Now, in your life journey, there's a point in your life where everything revolves around you. As a child growing up, you recognize this. As a child grows up, life is all about them. Their needs, when they're hungry, when they need to be fed, when they need to be changed, everything is about them. But as you mature, mentally and spiritually, a mature person is somebody that can step outside of themselves and see their circumstances and make a choice that may not be in their best interest in the immediate present, but make a decision for the future. Now, in your life, when you get to a place where you say, life is about more than just me, and you begin to understand that there might be something more going on out there, and you get this inkling that God is calling you to something more, that there's something greater out there that you can only get an essence of, it is the awakening of faith that begins to birth in you. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we have that famous verse. God said, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to give you hope in a future. When you begin to understand the essence of those plans, faith begins to awaken. It begins to stir in you. Maybe there's something else out there. And so this morning as you sit there, think about, is there something more that God is trying to do? If you go to the next slide, please. Is there something more that God is trying to do in your life? Is there something that God is trying to awaken? You begin to have these essence that something is stirring in your heart and soul. It's the awakening of faith. And we recognize, we started off by saying, if you want to grow, you have to understand that there's something more out there. And you believe, you begin to get the essence that God is calling you to something. Maybe not exactly sure what it is, but you feel that there's more to life than just the acquiring of possessions and power. You know, that living by that bumper sticker that says, whoever ends with the most toys wins. You can choose to follow that path, or you can say there's something else that life is all about. That's the beginning of faith. That's the stirring of faith. But that faith is a very immature faith. It says it's, you know, there's something out there, don't know what it really is. Maybe you say, I can't know, and many people will stop at that. Yes, I believe in spirituality. I believe that there's something out there, don't know what it really is, don't really want to get involved with it. That's a very, very low level and immature view. The second phase that we talked about is if you want to go deeper, you then have to sacrifice something. If you truly believe something is of value to you, it is of value to you to the extent that you're willing to sacrifice for it. Sacrifice what you have now for something even greater. So you are awakened by faith, but you are animated by love. You recognize that God has a plan for you, that God has something even greater, but that you then have to start making changes in your life in order to realize that vision, that mission. There are certain things that you have to give up. There are certain things you can't do because you love this more than you love that. You love God's plan, even in its incompleteness and in its obscurity. You love what God has for you more than you love your own selfish needs. That's the decision. That's the choice that you have to make. And many of us fall into that category. We're often in tension. We live in tension between what our desires are for the immediate, this is what I want right now, versus saying, am I really willing to choose what God has for me in the future? Am I willing to sacrifice my own comfort and convenience in the here and now in order to realize God's best for me in the future? To be able to step outside myself and say, this is the journey that I'm on. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, Christ's love compels us. Now, even here, you find that there's also a division that occurs. You can look at the love that God has for you, and you can kind of say, well, that's so easy. He will forgive me no matter what I do. And so I'm going to do pretty much whatever I want to do, knowing that God is a gracious God and He'll forgive me no matter what. Again, that's a very immature view of love. It's a love that is self-seeking. God will always meet my needs, so I don't really have to do anything. The message of the gospel is that the disciples were so humbled and so transformed by the love of Christ, the sacrifice, the death, and resurrection, that they said they dedicated their entire lives to sharing that message. That is the kind of love, that agape sacrificial love, that we're really talking about here. But if that's all the farther that you stay, there will come a point where all of this will be tested. And we all go through this in our lives. We go through these moments of testing. There's moments in our lives where we get pushed and we kind of go, is this really what it's all about? I'm ready to give up and go home and call it quits. It's not working out for me. I'm not receiving all of the joy and blessings I thought I was going to get from all of this. For all of us, whatever we sign up for, there comes in all of our faith a dry season where we become tested. We become, is it authentic? Is it real? Or is it just something we're going through the motions? Is this love something that you really deeply possess? Or is it just superficial? There comes a time in our relationships, in our marriages, in our families, in all of our jobs, whatever we want to do, there comes a time when it gets to be hard. And it's at that point that that love becomes pure. We become awakened by our faith. We believe these things to be true. It becomes animated by the love that we have for what God is doing, but it is ultimately accomplished by the hope that we have. It is hope that guides us through the difficulty, the difficult parts. It's hope that drives us to complete what we began. All through the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says we must persevere to finish the race that we began. For any of you that have ever been involved in athletic competitions, you know there comes a time when it becomes hard. You begin to really push your muscles and your body and your self-will. Will I finish what I've begun? And Paul uses that analogy to say we must push through to accomplish. The question that we have is, do we have the staying power to finish what we've begun? In 1 Timothy, as he's talking to his protege, Paul writes, we labor and strive because we have put our hope in Christ, in what God is doing. Do we have the staying power to stay the course? Well, this morning I wanted to share a passage. This is all kind of prelude to say I wanted to share a passage that comes from Mark's gospel that's kind of a famous one. You've probably heard it before. But it gives this image of somebody that would not give up. They believed against all outside circumstances, and they were finally realized when they connected with Christ. So let us open up God's word and let it speak to us about this kind of hope that leads us beyond. This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. I'm reading this morning from Mark's Gospel, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hand on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Now immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather this morning to be freed from our own demons, our own fears and anxieties. We pray, O God, that you help us to become aware of the journey that we're on, the path that lies before us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to live a different kind of life, you can kind of go through the timeline that's laid out before you. Finish your job, your career, enter retirement, live in retirement until some future date. You can live that way and say, this is what life is all about. Or you can kind of step outside of that for a moment and say, there are moments in our lives, there are sacred moments in our lives that really seem to transcend that kind of timeline. They kind of speak to us about what's happening outside of all of just the normal routine. When we have high school graduations, when we have births, when we have deaths, when we have baptisms, when we have celebrations, they remind us that there's something more that is going on. There's something greater. And yet the temptation is to just kind of go through the rituals, kind of go through the routine, be a part of the process, follow the schedule. God is calling us to see something that is happening even greater. If you want to go beyond earth to catch a glimpse of what heaven is, then you have to begin to pursue and think differently. You have to begin to move beyond. And I found this quote especially helpful in preparing for this morning. Until you name your ghosts, until you can name what your greatest fears are, what you're really afraid of, until you're able to baptize your hopes, until you're able to make sacred those things that you truly want in your life, that's what life is really all about. And you begin to pursue your purpose, not just believe them, but begin to act upon them. You have not yet been born. Is it possible to sit here and say, spiritually, we are in the midst of a time when most people have not yet been born yet? They're physically here, But spiritually, they haven't arrived. As a matter of fact, I think Jesus would say they are spiritually dead already. Is it possible then for us gathered here to say, have we named what our fears are? Have we baptized what our hopes are, what we want to become in life? Are we truly beginning to pursue a better, more noble purpose in our existence? If not, then we have not truly been born yet, and you are still the creation of others. How much of your day-to-day activity is governed by what other people tell you you should or should not do? How much of your day-to-day choices and existence is governed by those principles and those values that you hold sacred? The kind of person that I want to be. What you believe about yourself, you will become. If you believe yourself to be a person of means and of circumstance and of status, then that's what you will pursue. That's what you will become. But you will not find the kingdom. We are now talking about moving beyond the ordinary. Now, when we find this story this morning, in Mark chapter 9, in Mark chapter 5, it is also told in Matthew chapter 9. And the stories are slightly different. Mark gives us so much more detail about this woman. Now, I included the first part about Jairus because I want you to understand that Jesus is on a mission. Jairus has a very important, his daughter is dying, and all of the disciples are gathered around Jesus, and they begin to move in that direction. Now Mark includes this little story, and he gives us a lot of background information about her that Matthew doesn't include. Listen to what Mark tells us about her and about what she's facing. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and had spent all that she had, and yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Now, think about your own life. If that had been your story, you've done all that you can, you've exhausted all of the possibilities, you've exhausted all of your financial, your intellectual resources, you've touched the greatest minds, the doctors of that age, but instead of getting anything better, you begin to get worse. One of the things that hope really does, believing that God has a plan for you. Now, remember where we started. God has a plan for you. You've got to own that. You've got to say, I am convinced that God has a plan for my life. Plan to give you hope and a future. And I love and I'm willing to give all that I can to achieve that. What do you say to this woman? Is there not a sense of futility? And yet hope is able to work through that futility. Hope is not something that is wishful thinking. I hope it works out. It's like flipping a coin. I'm hoping that it works out. I'm not really convinced it'll work out, but I'm hoping it will. In this context, hope is something that doesn't give up, doesn't give in, and it doesn't give out. Hope pursues. It's about perseverance. It's about completing what you've already begun. We recognize that in Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, he who did not spare his own son, but gave himself up for all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If you can own that and you can believe that, then any obstacle that you face, no matter how difficult and how daunting it may seem, you can push through. We have to get to a place in our lives where we see each day all of the obstacles that we face, every challenge that we get, and every barrier that we come across is an opportunity for deeper growth and greater wisdom. They're not that we're being punished or that we're bad people. It's a way of refining that faith. And I've said this many times, and I'm hoping eventually it will seep into your consciousness. A faith that has not been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. I believe that God has the best intention for me until it becomes difficult. And then I start crying and saying, God, why have you abandoned me? God wants to give you the confidence that even in the midst of turmoil and pain, grief and sorrow that is common in this world, we are able to push through and recognize a deeper faith, a deeper wisdom, and a deeper truth, the essence of the kingdom of God. Breaking the barriers that we have to this world and to this life in order to experience something greater in the kingdom. It's our attachment to this life. It's our attachment to this physical body. It's attachment to all of our possessions and power that is trying to be broken. That's where the pain comes from. It's our lack of control, our lack of ability to manipulate our circumstances that is causing us pain. Hope goes beyond futility. It tells us that there is always new possibilities. The second thing that we recognize is that hope goes beyond fear. Goes beyond fear. In the midst of this crowd, it would have been so easy for any of us to just give up and say, we can't do it. Jesus is surrounded by all of these people. There's no way I'm going to get there. And even if I do, right, this woman, it tells us that she was subject to bleeding for 12 years. In that culture, before the real advent of great medical science, she was considered unclean. She was to be shunned. Think about the fear of entering that society, of pushing through. When you have hope, you don't cower back. You step forward. Hope is bold, it's courageous, and it's strong. It activates. Her faith, her hope that God still had not given up on her allows her to push through the crowd and says, even if I can touch his cloak, that will be sufficient for me. How many of us just give up on our faith if it requires that we get up on a Sunday morning? Yikes. She was willing to push through the crowd, push through whatever people are saying about her in order just to touch the hem of his garment. Are we willing to just fight through all of the barriers, both mentally, spiritually, and circumstantially, in order to experience just a little touch of the holiness of God? In 2 Corinthians, since we have such a hope, Paul writes, we are very bold. Paul's hope that God had a plan and a mission for him allowed him to endure incredible stuff. Beatings, shipwrecked, being bit by snakes, all kinds of stuff because he persevered. He was able to finish the race that was set before him. If you have that kind of hope, if you have a faith that says, I know God has a plan for me, I love that God's plan is better than any plan I could come up with. I recognize that and I believe that. And I have that hope that will push through. It doesn't give up and it doesn't give in. There is no fear when you have that kind of hope. And it requires that kind of strength to move on. And finally, hope truly takes us beyond ordinary. It takes us beyond just the circumstantial. Did you notice what it said? How it said it in Mark's gospel? It tells us that not only when she touched the hem of his garment, the bleeding stopped, but instead of using the word saying, and she was cured, it says, and she was freed. The writer, and it says this twice. It tells us later on in Mark's gospel, at the very end, it tells us that at the very end, daughter, Jesus is speaking to her, says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Not just be cured from your suffering, not just alleviate your suffering, not just take away your pain, but be freed from your suffering. Her suffering had made her a slave to her circumstances, to her own identity. That kind of hope changed her perspective, her relationship with who Jesus was, and with herself. If you want something that is going to take you beyond ordinary, just kind of going through the routines, you have to have that kind of faith that will free you from the bounds of all those kind of expectations. All of the expectations that you're going through right now. Think about some of the great holidays that we celebrate in the church. To be quite honest, for us, we are defined as a church. We are defined by the Easter moment. That's what defines who we are. But to be quite honest, most of the greatest celebrations that we have are around Christmas. And when we think about those Christmas hymns, people love the sound of those. But think about the message that they actually offer. And I found this week. It says, think about this. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. And yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The writer is trying to tell us that we all have fears. We all have anxiety. Who's going to take care of us into the future? Is there any plan? But in Christmas, in Christ, the hopes and the fears of all of us are met in that one person. In Christ, God says, I will be with you always. That you can take to the bank. You can't take to the bank what the economy will be, what the government will be, what society will be, but you can take that to the bank. You can be secure in knowing that your hopes and your fears are met right there. That is your greatest hope and your greatest possibility. So do you have anything to be thankful for? Do you have anything to hope for? In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes these famous words. In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What Paul is saying here is we are going to face those things. You've got to face those powers. You're going to face darkness. You're going to face circumstances. You're going to face difficult, evil times. But that in itself cannot separate you from the love of God. It is that hope and that resolve that helps move us forward. So if you are ready to truly live just beyond the ordinary, if you feel in your own life that you get overwhelmed by circumstances, that you hope and you pray, God, help everything work out for me. Make sure everything turns out the way I want because I can't take any more turmoil. If you want to almost transcend circumstances and live for something greater than just that timeline, then you have to really awaken that God has a plan for you. That from the beginning of the world, God planned you to be born in this place and at this time for a sacred mission. You're not a mistake. You're a great masterpiece, work of art in progress. You have to believe it so much that you love it. You love that dream, God's dream for you, more than you love what Wall Street or Fifth Avenue or marketing says about you, about what you wear or what you have. You have to believe more and love more your character in Christ than just what you achieve. And then you have to face all of those difficult moments with courage, with confidence, and with the conviction that God is working in you. The last thing that I want to leave you with is this image. Think about Joseph in Genesis. That Joseph in Genesis believed that God had a plan. His brothers threw him down a well. They sold him into slavery. And he finds himself as a slave in Egypt. And yet, deep down, despite all of those external circumstances, he believes that God has something for him. So when Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, he says, I can't do that against the good nature of God. And he follows through on God's plan. He loves God's plan more than his own circumstances. And through the life, he finally gets to a place where God can use him. God wants to use you for something noble, something glorious. But we have to push through these lessons, these difficult moments, to go beyond ordinary. The question that I leave for you this morning, as a church, are you ready to go beyond ordinary? Are you ready to really tackle the difficult issues of your age and your generation and your community? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather this morning to praise you for your glorious presence and to ask, O God, that you continue to use us to bring joy to your people wherever they are. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took a loaf. I'm lost. Stop laughing. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took a loaf of bread. And when he had blessed it, he gave it to them. He broke it and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." This is new life. This is the promise of a bright future. Believe and be a part of the kingdom. At the end of the meal, he took a cup, he blessed it, and he gave it to them. He said, "Now take and drink. This is my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As we share in the body and the blood of Christ, we are reminded of God's calling upon our lives for a noble purpose, to rise above our circumstances, to share the light of Christ, to be salt wherever we go, and to share the grace of Christ with our family and friends, and thereby change the world. As you come, recommit yourselves to God's calling on your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we will be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Pour out your Holy Spirit, O God, that we may feel your presence, we may be renewed by his Spirit, and we may receive the calling. As we go from this place, help us to be one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in his final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If the servers will come. And now, dear friends, having been blessed by God's presence and his gifts of his own body and blood, let us continue to worship by the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for these gifts and the opportunity that we have to share joyfully what's in our hearts. Receive these gifts, our hearts and our service, our voices and our spirits, as we yield to you for the coming kingdom. Help us, O God, to live lives that go beyond ordinary. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand and take the hand of the person that is standing next to you? As we unite to be the body of Christ, the church, to share joyfully in what God is doing among us and through us. As you go from this place, may the love of God the Father, the grace of God the Son, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit surround and protect you. For you are God's people. Go and live joyfully in that knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen.